Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all. I hope you all can hear me. Welcome to my show, the first show. I guess the name of the show, if you don't know, is called Taken Why Me, The Unexplained. Hopefully you all can hear me out there. This can go on the podcast. The idea I got for the show was based on my own experiences. You know, I'm a Bud Hopkins. Basically, a little bit about me. I'm a Bud Hopkins. I kind of got into the field of unexplained phenomenon, UFOs, Area 51, Roswell, based on my own experiences, things that have happened to me. And I wanted to know, like, why? Like, what is out there? Like, what are they hiding from us? And that's what the show, I'm going to talk about a little bit about me, about my experiences and what's gone on. I'm going to talk about Roswell, some Area 51 issues, some other things people may not know about Falcon Lake, about the Allagash 4 abductions. And one of the big things I'm going to talk about is based off of the God versus religion issue. Okay, if you believe that someone comes from another world, can you believe in God? Some people say yes, some people say no. I mean, I was brought up Catholic. I believe in being a good person. Yeah, that's kind of me. And I guess that is one of the issues that, okay, well, I know things have happened to me. I know I've had missing time experiences, but can I believe in God? And I'm going to get into that. If anyone is interested in calling in, the call-in number for my show is 1-914-338-0565. The call-in number. Hopefully you all can hear me out there. You can feel free to call and ask questions, things that have happened to me, anything you would like to know about the show. We're going to first start talking about a couple of my experiences so you can see where I'm coming from. I was brought up in a middle-class family, brought up to believe in God, brought up Catholic, and, you know, I still believe that there's something there. There's another power, like a spirit or something there, you know, but I mean, I saw stuff when I was real little. It was a summer day one time, and I was just sitting outside, and I had two friends that lived down the street. I went to go see if they could actually come out and play, and there was no one there. And I said, sure. And I went down the street to see if they could come out and play, and no one was there. And I kept looking, and no one was there. And I'm like, okay, it's a summer day. There's no one out, no one anywhere. Very weird. It's a summer day. There's no one out there. And I remember going down the street, and for some reason decided to look up. My dad was in the Coast Guard, and he had a private plane, and he had his private pilot's license and all that. So I was able to look in the sky and say, oh, yeah, that's a P-17, or, you know, that's a Piper Cub, or that's a Piper Arrow, or whatever. Have my Earl Grey. But anyways, I was looking up in the sky, and I saw this floating metal object. It just went across the sky very, very, very slow. It looked like a metal tube. I mean, if you were to take a long balloon and blow it up and put it in the sky and it was solid metal, that's what it looked like, just slowly going across the sky. And I'm like, that's pretty odd. You know, I've seen a lot of planes, seen a lot of things in my life, and I'm like, that doesn't look like anything I've ever seen. But I was watching Unsolved Mysteries, and it kind of made me understand something, because this lady saw a weird object and lights in Canada, and she goes, I go to the phone, and what am I going to say? That I saw this object of these lights, who would believe me? You know, I've never really said anything. This show is kind of like a comfort for me. It's kind of coming out. It's like, okay, I know I'm not insane. I know I'm not crazy. I know that other people have had similar experiences. And, this is not a joke. People like us that have had experiences and have had things happen. It's kind of like we want answers. That's like Ben Hopkins. That's what I think he tries to do, get answers. He does what the scientists should be doing. They should be investigating this. They should be looking into this. And when I talk about Roswell, I'll go into why they covered it up. I mean, it's kind of simple. But, you know, that was one of my first experiences when I saw it from a point A to a point B. So the object I saw, I would have seen it from a facial point of view, facing me, to a side view, to seeing the back end of it. And I never saw wing, I never saw anything, and it just floated by. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. And never saw anything about it. I never thought, like, rain and sun, go, Mom, I saw a UFO. You know, but I mean, what does UFO stand for? It stands for unidentified flying object. It doesn't stand for alien spacecraft. If you look up and see a new fighter jet that the military has, that would be unidentified. So, and that's one of the things I get a lot too, is I notice when I look into things that and talk to people, there's people that you can put a UFO right here on the CBS Evening News and they still would not believe you. No matter what you tell them, there is no such thing. It's mathematically impossible for there not to be life on other planets. It's mathematically impossible. But then again, they couldn't happen. I mean, if you go back to the religion, you go back to the 1600s, where you would have been killed and murdered if you did not believe that the Earth was the center of our universe. If you did not believe the Earth was the center of our universe, you would have been killed. And there were philosophers like Galileo and stuff that said, you know, I don't believe that. I believe that we are revolving around something, and I think it was one of them, I'm not sure which one, that was looking at Jupiter and saw these moons going around it and thought that, hey, maybe, and theorized what the truth is that we know now, that we are revolving around the sun and not everything revolving around us. Back then, you would have been killed if you didn't believe that the Earth was the center of our universe. Now we know that to be false. And, you know, now scientists say, well, we don't believe that we've made contact. Yes, we do believe that aliens could exist, other life forms could exist, but we don't believe we have made contact. That's their thing now. And going back to some of my experiences, I've had missing time experiences where time is, Bud Hopkins explains it the best, where time is continuous, but the 5-minute trip to the store takes 2.5 hours, and you can't account for it. I was, one of the big experiences actually involves some people, and we're at my friend's house, and we're gonna go party. And I was like, I'll go get some beer. I'll be right back. And I went to, wherever anyone lives, like a White Hen or a little convenience store. We have Village Pantries, and I went to the Village Pantry to get beer, and went to the Village Pantry and came back, and I came in the house and like, buddy, where have you been? I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, thanks. What the hell are you talking about? I got beer, I'm back. And they said, no, where have you been? I said, what do you mean? I went to the Village Pantry and I got beer and I came back. And they're like, quit playing games with us. Where have you been? And someone can go, oh, maybe play some mushrooms or smoke weed or he's up getting laid or something. What the hell? I'm like, what are you talking about? I went and got beer and I came back home to your place, his apartment. What are you telling me? No, man. Where have you been? I'm like, quit playing games with me. And I looked at the clock and the clock had 4.5 hours. Difference from when I left. And I'm like, what are you, quit playing with me, quit changing clocks, quit screwing around with me. And they're like, dude, where have you been? You almost called the cop. What's going on, dude? I'm like, what are you, I just went to get beer and I came back. And I said, I'm going out to my car. My car is going to sit there and have the same, my clock on the car is going to have 15 minutes passed because that's all it would have taken me. And I made 15, 20 minutes, and I'm going to show you that you guys are playing games with me. Went out to my car, and my car had the same time as the clocks in the house, 2.5 hours difference. And I don't know what happened. I just went to the store, got beer, and came back. In my mind, that's what happened, but 4.5 hours were gone. So I want to welcome God to my show. So, I mean, it's just, I can't explain. I guess I want answers, like a lot of people. I mean, this is not fun to me. I've had things, I know I've been taken, I know I've been abducted, I've had things done to me, I don't know why. I've had a Men in Black experience with what I believe to be like a helicopter, and it's just like, it's just, I guess this is, you know, they always talk about relationships, like you need to talk, you know, don't bottle up, and this is, I actually was on here and I heard a guy that does Aliens the Truth website, and he just gave me the thought that he's talked about his experiences, so I'm going to talk about my stuff and things that have happened to me and things that I've noticed. I was basically at work, and we were opening up a restaurant. I'm a chef, and it's pretty cool. So I was at work, and there's a new restaurant, and I cut my finger, and of course, we're in a new restaurant, we don't have any Band-Aids. I mean, come on, you know? But anyways, when I cut my finger, I went home. And I went home to get some Band-Aids, and I went to my parents' house, and that's where I lived at the time, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, wow, we have choppers once in a while go over us, and the chopper went over, and I'm like, went inside, didn't think much of it, and looked black, and just kept going, and went inside, got stuff, and I'm like, I've been working in there about, I don't know when it happened, it was like in April, so I've been working like a month and a half straight. I didn't have days off because we opened the restaurant, and when I did that, working in the restaurant that much, I sat there, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit at home for a little bit and take 20-minute rest, and I finally went outside, and I said, man, that a chopper's going back by again. And I noticed that the chopper was kind of going, like, in a circle around towards what I was assuming the vicinity of my house. And as I've said earlier, my dad's been to Oshkosh many times. He has his private pilot license. I look up in the sky. I can tell usually what I'm seeing. And this is basically something that was all black. I mean, I've seen news choppers. I've seen all kinds of different things. So I've been in helicopters. So I know, okay, this appears to be all black, no lettering, something's up. And in my head, as a joke, I'm like, okay, it looks like you're circling my house. If you're going to follow me, this is really crazy, but if you're for me, you're going to go to where I work. You're going to follow me towards where I work. And I went out to where I work. It was a place called Porky's, a little Memphis barbecue restaurant. And when I was there, I went to the place, and lo and behold, the helicopter was down there behind me, and it was started when I got to work, started to circle around where I worked. And I'm like, okay, this is really, excuse my friends, fucked up. What the heck? It's all black, it's circling around, it's probably been circling around my house for 20 minutes when I was inside just lying on my ass, getting a break from work. And then, now it's at work, and I'm in my head, I screamed, I'm like, what do you want? I know you're here, leave me the F alone. And it kept circling around and said, what do you want? I know you're following me, whatever you are, I know you're following me, just leave me alone. And it kind of did like a turn in the wind, like a helicopter would acknowledge you, like an airplane would, and then it just sped off. And I never, and it just left an odd feeling in my head that never went away. Just like a weird thing. I went inside. It's not something I normally, first time I ever really talked about it with anyone. So it just makes me wonder. And that's why I guess I got into the field. This is just some of my, you know, I've had at least probably three that I know of, maybe four missing time experiences. And I guess I delved into the field, not because, oh, wow, touch me, I've been abducted, but for answers. And I guess it goes back to Roswell. And on July 3rd, 1947, I mean, what really happened there? I mean, there's people now that have things that come out that are like, okay, well, we believe there's 10 crash sites and there's 8 crash sites and, you know, and this. And there's people that are talking about Roswell today that are weren't even there, don't even have the eyewitness testimony. I mean, Jesse Marcel Jr. said it best. He goes, my dad, Jesse Marcel Sr., would never have woken us up at 1 a.m. in the morning to show us a freaking water balloon. And like Matt Bravel, he was held for a week at the Army's military base. And when he came out, people said he had a new truck, he had a new place to live, he had a new house, a new ranch, all kinds of stuff. And it hooks up with Roswell hooks up with 3051, and the reason for the cover-up is kind of simple. And not many people, everyone tries to find out how can they prove it wasn't, but they never sit there and say, okay, why did they cover it up? The reason for the cover-up is pretty simple. I mean, it's one of those things that not many people think of, but it's kind of like Stanton Friedman kind of said something very similar to this, and he was a nuclear physicist, and he goes, you got to think about something. This was right after World War II. You're not thinking in terms of nice guys coming to visit. You're thinking in terms of War of the Worlds. I mean, what could they have possibly told the public? Hey, we just thought we'd let you know that we recovered an alien spacecraft with 4 or 5 beings in it. There's nothing we can do to prevent them from coming here. We don't know why they're here. We can't protect you, but we just thought we'd let you know. For that group of people at that time, that would have been totally irresponsible. I mean, you think about it. If when they got that crashed saucer, that's what they would have had to say. You know, I mean, they couldn't sit there and, okay, folks, well, we can't really protect you, and we're the military, so screw you. I mean, there's actually evidence in Project Blue Book that stuff was, I read some very highly classified Project Blue Book documents that they tried to keep hidden that talk about strange objects that have been seen over military bases that housed nuclear energy and uranium and all these things, and they were really concerned about that. But when it comes to, you know, Jane Doe seeing a disc in the sky, they try to explain it away, but they really were concerned under the cover and some of these letters that I read that were practically all black that said that, okay, basically there was an object that was going over this military base that housed uranium and all kinds of different materials, and they were really concerned about that, you know? So, it's one of those things. I mean, the cover-up is kind of obvious, you know? If they couldn't protect us, I mean, there's actually evidence of old civilizations that when they found that there was one that was more advanced and more, you know, more highly technically advanced than our civilization, then you sit there and you have to step back and say, okay, well, if we come out that there are people visiting us that we can't do anything about, we can't stop from getting us, it can't stop us from doing anything, then we have to sit there and say, okay, well, we need to keep this on the down low because we don't want people to panic. And plus, if you come out that there's people from other worlds, okay, it's going to really impact religion. I mean, it was, I think, in 96 or 97 when they found Rock 84001 and it was a meteor that was found that ended up being a Martian meteor from Mars. It had very, very small, tiny, what looked to be like frozen microorganisms, fossilized. And there are people that claim that that's what that proves, and that proves that Earth life started somewhere else and was brought to this planet. And if they brought, and if they came out with that, then what they would have to essentially do is say that, okay, we're going to have to rewrite history, rewrite evolution. One of my good friends, he's at a Habitat house, and there was a guy there, and the guy that was building the house was like, are you going to heaven? I said, I'm going where we go when we die. He goes, well, I can get you a prayer. You say this, if you confess and out your mouth and believe in your heart, you're going to go to heaven and all this. And, like, evolution is the only way, and the Bible is the only way. But if evolution is the only way, then how do you explain dinosaurs and other creatures that have evolved, you know? So it's just one of those things that, and Area 51 ties into Roswell because when Roswell happened, there were a couple of people that were at Roswell that tried to do some maintenance in the hangar that they believed the material and the wreckage from Roswell was housed, and they couldn't get in. And this guy goes, I don't know what was in that hangar, but for 2 days I couldn't go near that thing. I was a military guy and I had my own MPs putting guns to my head telling me not to go in there or you'll get shot. So it makes you wonder what was in there. And I know what was in there. And I know why they covered it up. And so Area 51 came about because they had to have a place to test this. You know, some of the pieces were believed to go to Langley CIA headquarters. Some of the pieces went to MacDill and to Wright-Patterson where they could do the testing. And someone there is going to say something. There are people that didn't want to say anything to keep their mouth shut. It has to be done somewhere to where only people who are going to keep their mouth shut and not say a word about this can work on it. If you have it at Wright-Patterson where every Tom, Dick, and Harry can walk around, new cadets or anybody, they need to have a place that has secrecy to where no one can get near it. I mean, you think about it, you can probably get closer to the president's actual bed that he sleeps in the White House than you could even get near Area 51. There's a, on Green Lake Road, there's a little cafe called the Little Alien. And I bet you if you turned off of the little alien in towards Roswell, at that point there, they would already know you're coming. They would already know you're going in that direction. I've seen pictures and I've actually seen stuff out there that basically you could be probably 3 football fields from the outer perimeter that has the signs that you cannot photography, not take pictures, and not do anything, and they have motion sensors out that far. You know, I mean, and this is the thing that another point I'm going to bring up. Okay, with Area 51, you cannot take photos or do anything because that violates a thing called national security. That violates national security, okay? But I don't know if this violates national security, but if you watch any of the evening news or one of the news broadcasts, I don't care what it is, I've watched them with my mom, and she'll say, here we go again. They're showing on the evening news how easy it is to kill millions of people by contaminating the food and water supply. On the evening news, they'll show you how easy it is to break into an airplane maintenance hangar and sabotage airplanes. But that's not breaking national security. They're going to show you how easy it is on the evening news to contaminate the food and water supply and kill millions, but that's not national security. That's not doing anything. It's one of those things that I don't understand. I mean, okay, you can't take a photo of Area 51 where they're supposedly just building aircraft, just basic aircraft. But then again, on the evening news, they say how easy it is to kill millions and millions and millions of people. And you think about a lot of things, like if you were to buy an Apple iPod right now, the newest and best Apple iPod, if you were someone that was in black book projects in the U.S. government, you would have probably had something like that 6 or 7 years ago. You know, I've heard that from a couple of people I've talked to. And it's to keep technology so far ahead so that if you're President Bush, the computer you're using is virtually impossible to hack because you're using technology and stuff that's compatible with the old technology, but it's so advanced that they can't use it. And you can't get into it. I mean, with Area 51, a lot of the planes you see, like if you see the SR-71 Blackbird, that was probably developed 20 years ago. So if you saw it in 87 and go, wow, that's a neat new plane, that's been around for 20-some years. I've talked to a couple of military personnel that say that by the time when they show it to the public, it's kind of like a, here was the plane we used. You know, showcasing what they had. So that by the time, oh, wow, we need to look out for this thing, and oops, sorry, that was used 20 years ago, you know, that's being retired. And I've talked to a guy that's like, okay, I've not had one UFO experience or any, there's nothing you can show me that can be explained, that can't be explained away. And it's like, I don't understand. You know, I mean, these people that are skeptics, I don't understand skeptics. I mean, these people that, well, ghosts can't exist. I mean, if you believe in God or any type of religion, most of them talk about ghosts, to my mind, which are spirits, you know? I mean, back when I was a kid, you said, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You didn't say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Son, you said, Holy Ghost. And, you know, these skeptics that say ghosts can't exist, or UFOs can't exist, and there's not one case of a UFO that I cannot explain away, or da-da-da. It's like, come on. It just floors me. I mean, like the Falcon Lake incident, where Stan Mikulak was a foreigner from Poland who came over and lived in Manitoba, Canada. And in Manitoba, Canada, there's this Falcon Lake, and he was there. He was an avid rock hound. I wanted to meet this guy. But, I mean, some of these people are hard to get a hold of. But he was just looking at some rocks, and some birds came up, and these birds were, like, going nuts. And he went over, and he saw these two dish-shaped objects. And one of them came down, and, like a lot of people, like, thought it was, like, the U.S. military and thought it was something of theirs. And when it landed, he's like, hey, Yankee boys, you know, and he was, and when he spoke English, it didn't work. He's like, Sena prava goes, you know, and he tried Russian, and he tried German. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Welcome to Deutschland, guys. So he tried different languages, and then he got no response. A door opened, and he looked in, and he said, I remember this, I saw a special on it, it was so bright that he had to put down his welding visors. And when he did this, he got near it and he put his glove on, and when he touched it, it burned the glove and burned his hand, and he remembers the door shutting. And it's kind of funny thing, but I remember hearing a giddy, 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 you know, that he said when the door was closing, this weird noise. And then he said he remembered the craft spinning, and he next thing he remembers is his shirt's on fire, and he takes off, and his compass wasn't working. He has burns on his, he personally called them his buttons. He had burns all over his body and different things, and he was nauseating, vomiting. His son, Stan was the son. Steve was the guy that got burned. But Stan, the son, was sitting there, and he's like, okay. 3 weeks later, he had this sulfur ozone exhaust smell that wouldn't go away. Showers, baths, wouldn't take it out, nothing. So he had these burns on him, and they couldn't figure out what caused these burns, and they went away for a little bit. And then they came about a couple of weeks later, you know, 6 months later and weeks later, and they just kept reoccurring. And he has, up until he died, he had scars. On October 30th, 1999, we lost Stephen Mikulak at the age of 83. And he had those scars from, he called them his buttons. And they actually match up to dots that he put on a sketch of a craft that he drew. I mean, you go back, and we're going to talk also about, like, the Allagash 4. The Allagash 4 is a group of four guys that went up to the Allagash waterway and all believe they were abducted. Two of the guys, actually, it was Chuck Ratt, Charlie Fultz, and two others, Jim and Jack Wiener. And Jim and Jack are brothers, and the one guy had nightmares, and the other guy had nightmares, and they're about the same thing. And the one guy finally got up the nerve and he goes, I just got to say this, man. I've had these weird, stimulating nightmares. And it involved the four guys that they knew in college. And they had, they went through and had testing done, and they were all put under hypnosis, and they all ended up saying the same thing. But they went out to the Allagash Wilderness on August 20, it was a Friday, and they, on the one night, they saw this, like, brown globe of light. And it just, like, winked from the outside in and disappeared. And they didn't think much of it. And they went out on the water to do some night fishing. And they built a bonfire. And the bonfire, from what they said and from what I've read, was huge. I mean, it was bordering on, we better be careful because it's bordering on, like, yow. Like, we might set the fire on. So we sat there. And, you know, borderline, like, ridiculous. And they went out to the lake, and the one guy remembers paddling, and he just remembered, like, the thought of someone looking at him. And the one guy turns around and goes, look. And when he looked, the three other men said they didn't have to look. They knew what they were going to see, and that large globe of light was there. And the next thing they remember is trying to go back to shore a little bit. And then from there, the next thing they remember is they're back on shore as though they're taking a picture with the boat. And they're on the shore, and the fire was pretty much extinct. And, okay, they all said they were in the water for 20 minutes, but then a fire that should have blazed for hours was gone. And they claimed they were in the lake for only like an hour. And I guess I took a lot from them because it was like, okay, you know, if you believe this, you do, you don't, you don't. You know? So, it's just one of those interesting things that, you know, when two people are having the same nightmare and different things, going back to like the Falcon Lake, then something that, how do you explain the burns that he had on his stomach? It's really hard to explain. You know, I mean, it's just, it's like I've seen photos recently of NASA images from Mars that have pictures of stuff that if that was naturally made, that's pretty amazing. And there's people who said that, okay, if you were to say that's naturally made, then you're dealing in something that you'd be dealing with something that it'd be like winning the lottery three times. The odds of you winning the lottery three times would be the odds that you're going to actually have something like that be non-man-made in the actual Mars. Okay, I think I have a question here. Okay, I'm going to ask one of Venerate's questions and answer it. Basically, I'm looking into, I'm going to actually go under hypnosis to try to recall some of the memories of that time. I'm really into a guy, Bob Hopkins, and he studies the abduction phenomenon pretty much exclusively based on his UFO experiences. Like a lot of us, I wasn't born believing in UFOs. When I first saw them, I didn't know what they were. I didn't say, oh, UFO. I just said, well, that's weird. But I don't really remember. I was kind of like, I went to the store and got beer and came back. And that 15-minute trip, which should have been 10 or 15, 20 probably realistically, it was 4.5 hours. I have really no recollection. It's like time was continuous. I would really like to look into hypnosis to find out more about this stuff. I'm one of those people like Bud Hopkins said in an interview when I was listening to a live interview that he goes, you know, I'm here doing this because the scientists aren't. And this is left up to people like me because the scientists don't look into this stuff. They don't sit there and, I don't know why they don't look into it. They need to look into it. I mean, it's fascinating. You know, I mean, I've seen stuff on, going back to some of the stuff we talked about previously, like with Roswell, you know, Jesse Marcel and William Blanchard, the people that worked at the 509th Bomb Group, they were the best that the military had. You had to have very high security clearance just to get there. Okay, another question for Venray. That happened, I know what year it was, it was about 96. It was the summer of 96. I was going to try to figure out how many years ago that was, but my math is not that good. It was 96, summer of. And, you know, stuff happened. I remember just a funny experience that I woke up one night when I was about 4 years old. I think I was 4 or 5. I don't remember exactly how old I was. And I just woke up and I had the urge to go look outside. When I looked in the sky, I saw a falling star. I just woke up from a deep sleep, went up and looked and saw a falling star. I'm like, oh, that was cool, you know. But, you know, there's tons of people like Bruce McAvey that talks up and U.S. Navy physicists and a lot of people that are coming out and talking about stuff. I mean, there's people like one of the big guys that's out now is that probably a lot of people have heard about that's kind of contradictory is Bob Lazar that claims he worked at Area 51, and there's two sides to his story. There are people who say that he's a fraud, and then there's other people who said, well, I took the W-2 that he gave me, and I took his tax ID number, and I tried to find out what that tax ID number was hosted to, like who owned that tax ID number, who did he actually work for, and I ran into roadblocks. I had people threaten my life if I kept trying to investigate who he worked for. There's people who claim that he has no record. There's a guy that says, well, you look to where he said he went to school and this and that, and they have no record of him. And then you talk to people like Bob Lazar and say, well, there was a time when I tried to get my birth certificate, and I had a hard time finding my own birth certificate. You know, so, I mean, is he a fraud or is he not? Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of people who will corroborate things he said and, you know, test flights and, you know, being shown pictures of autopsies when they were taken in black and white, you know, and so, I mean, he's one of those things that some people say that he's a fraud, other people say that he was just brought out by the government to either do two things, to expose them to Roswell or to just make it like a mockery, like, hey, look at this guy's a fraud, we'll make him look like a clown, so that when he talks about Roswell or whatever, or anything, Area 51 or any of the things, he'll look like a joke. You know, I mean, just because you can prove one video of UFOs are fake doesn't mean they all are, and vice versa. Just because you can prove this is a real video doesn't mean they all are either. You know, I mean, it's like another thing for skeptics. I mean, you go back to Travis Walton, the abduction case. He was him and seven guys were clearing out forest in Arizona, in the Apache National Forest. On November 5th, 1975, they were up in the forest, and they were looking down at all the trees, and like, hey, you know, we've got to do all this work, and they're coming home late, because they're trying to get stuff caught up, and I remember seeing, like, this big red glow, and they're like, okay, we better get out of here, man, the forest is on fire, oh, no, and they come upon this craft, and Travis Walton was missing for a long time, like 5-6 days, around a week. And, you know, first he was murdered, you murdered him, da-da-da-da-da. They had a criminal on their team, and he was murdered, okay. But then when he appeared, they're like, oh, it was a hoax. Well, first we murdered him until he came back and he was, you know, it was a hoax, and, you know, and he didn't eat. Like, when they found him, he hadn't eaten or drank anything for several days. And from what he remembers, he goes, I just remember, you know, being on the table for like an hour. And other than that, I don't really remember much. It's, you know, it's one of those missing time things that goes on again. And you sit there and, okay, explain that away. It's hard to explain stuff like that away. Got about 22 minutes left in my show, so I'm just gonna keep talking here and going over things, and that's one of the things that's very, very, very hard to explain away. Like, if you go back to, not many people know about this, but there was a pilot, an Australian pilot, Frederick Valetic, who was making a routine flight over King Otway to Bass Strait, over Bass Strait to King Otway, and he disappeared. And if you go online and look up Frederick Valetic, they have all kinds of the original transcripts of the actual radio thing. And he was calling into the tower, and like, you know, Mobile Tower, this is Cessna 137, I don't know exactly the numbers, you know, any traffic below 5,000. Melbourne Tower, no traffic below 5,000. Melbourne Tower, this is Cessna 114. Any traffic below 5,000? Any military traffic, anything? Cessna 114, no known traffic. And they went on and back and forth, and he kept seeing this object. This object is going by me at 2 and 3 times at speeds that I cannot identify. And it is an aircraft, right? It, you know, and one of his very last words were, it is hovering, and it's not an aircraft. And then you hear an unidentifiable clicking noise in the background, and they lost contact with him, and they've never seen anything. He's never been seen to this day. As far as I know, he's never been seen. They've never found a plane. They've never found anything. And they'd be like flying over Lake Michigan and not finding anything, or even smelling. I mean, a ton of search vessels went over, and they never found anything. And, okay, explain that. You know, his dad is still waiting for him to come home. I don't know if his dad is still alive. I doubt his dad's still alive, but, you know, he still hasn't come home. And that is something that can't be explained away. A guy missing. You know, and that's what, you know, like in Project Blue Book, they said that the ones that were really militarily sensitive, that's the ones that they kicked up. You know, the Project Blue Book was a thing to try to explain away events. And most of them they could not explain away. So it's just one of those things that, okay, well, here's our Project Blue Book. And I always joke about this, but the Project Blue Book was actually a book that they went to find out, okay, for this one you're going to use excuse number 34B. It was a guy with an experimental large frisbee. He was experimenting with the world's largest frisbee that was exactly 49 feet in diameter, and him and 10 people tried to throw it up in the air. That is, you know, that's what, you know, You know, that's what the blue book was. It wasn't the catalog, the UFO abductions. It was a book that they had a list of excuses that they had to use when someone thought, yes, they were abducted. So, or whatever happened. So it's just one of those things that you sit there and you go, okay. Because I talked to some people who said that, okay, but the really sensitive ones, the ones where they had objects that they could not explain that were coming over and actual, you know, military bases, and, you know, this is where we have sarin nerve gas, and we have objects flying over, and this is where we have this, that's when they were concerned, you know. Like I said earlier, you know, I mean, you think about it. If they were to come out and say, and that's another thing, if they were to come out right now and say, okay, UFOs existed, there would be a lot of butts on the line. Because for one simple thing, then they'd have to, if they lied about that, what else have they lied about? You know? I mean, like there's a guy, kind of off the topic, but there's a guy that's in High Times magazine that did a 20-year study to try to prove that marijuana was bad. He was one of the leading people to prove that marijuana is evil and it's bad, and always had to change his story because being in Jamaica, it's like he goes, people that have been exposed to it, the kids are more likely to stay in school, they're more likely to do better in school, they're more likely to get better grades, and he's had to change his thoughts, and he goes, if you were to smoke marijuana with cigarettes, you were to have a 90% less chance of getting a disease. He's had to change his view, and if you were to say, okay, aliens exist, the government believes aliens exist, you would have to sit there and actually, they'd have to, okay, what else have you lied about? What else has gone on that you haven't told us about? I think there's a lot of butts on the line, and like I told one of my friends, and I heard this, I had a military guy off the record tell me this, and he goes, just look at it like this, when we bust a ship that has 500 billion tons of cocaine on it, you know, with a $50 billion street value, you think they're burning all that, they're selling it on the street, and they're funneling that black, they're funneling that money into black budget projects. I mean, one of the big guys I'm going to talk about now, Phil Schneider. If you ever get a chance, go on YouTube and look up Phil Schneider. He was a guy that was killed in 1995, because of his coming out about what he knew. He was supposedly, the whole story about him, was he was supposedly one of three people who was killed in a firefight that happened underground with gray aliens. He has missing fingers, he has burns. He's dead now. He was killed. He had burns and different things and missing fingers and stuff that was related to attacks on the ground by Grays. He was one of three to survive a famous fight underground. And he was talking about, he actually had at one of the conferences I saw on video that he showed metals that are not from this earth. And he goes, you can have this analyzed and you will not come up with this compound on this earth. This is not from Earth. I'm coming out, you know. You got to love yourself more than you do your country, and I do, and I'm coming out. The sad thing was, is he said, if you watch his tapes, he didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg on what he wanted to talk about, what he wanted to come out with. He talks about how, and I've seen actual pictures, that they carved huge tunnels underground, and most of the military bases, if not all of them, are connected via underground railway systems. And I've seen pictures that would be like if you're looking at like a salt mine and you're looking underground and it's, you know, 20 feet high and it's huge carved out and it's just amazing. And, you know, he was talking about underground bases and this and that and all kinds of Blackfoot projects and things that happened and how they were taking money and funneling it in and all this stuff. And he was coming out about different things, about different metals and you know, the public has the right to know this. And it's a real eye-opener. They're like an hour and 45 minutes. And like in New Mexico and stuff, there's a couple bases that are underground and, you know, they have them overseas. So Phil Schneider, is a very, very amazing guy. So it's really, I mean, he was found 4 days later, and he was, if you don't know, when you die, you would, if I was to kill you right now and you just sat there, you would eventually, you know, implode, blow up, basically. And when they found him, he was blown up, and when they finally deflated him, they found like a piano key wrapped tightly around his neck. And there are people that say that he only committed suicide, but I believe like this, like a lot of people that investigated it, you couldn't wrap the thing around his neck as tight as it was, and there was evidence that he was beaten and brutally abused and attacked. And even when he was doing his speeches, he goes, you know, I've already been, he goes, my life's on the line. He goes, I've sat there and I've been basically, my life is in jeopardy. They've tried to kill me. I'm a Marine. They haven't gotten me yet, and I'm going to keep speaking until they do get me. He kind of basically said, like, they're going to kill me, and I'm going to speak until they do kill me. So I just think it's one of those things that you can sit there and, you know, he's not, no one's really ever said anything about him like he's a fraud, you know. So, I mean, Phil Schneider is one guy I would have loved to have met, because he's just, the stuff he talked about and some of the pictures I've seen, there's something to his story. I've seen pictures of like railways that I've been to New York, I've been to San Francisco, I've been to Chicago, I've been to France, I've been to Italy, I've been on many railways, nothing that looks like what pictures I've seen of. And they're supposedly underground railways that connect military bases. And he was, you know, and I mean, his hands were deformed. So they were damaged somehow. And they didn't, from what I've seen pictures of his hands, they didn't look like if you had just chopped fingers off. They looked like, almost like they were dipped in acid and melted. And he claims they were from the attacks with the Greys. And I've talked to because I've delved into the field, to the things that have happened to me, I've talked to many different types of people, many things. And you get some varying answers from people. I mean, I've talked to people that, I met a guy one time that I talked to, and one of the guys I talked to, I don't reveal any names. So he made sure that the phone call we had was on a secure line and everything. And he's like, he worked at a military base, and he saw discs that originally he thought were ours. That of course we're seeing UFOs, because they figured out the technology. And he was like, I was shown autopsy photos. When they were taken, I don't know what, you know, and it showed like one being, and it showed like one big organ, and he goes, the heads were big, they were small. He goes, kind of like what you would say someone who is, when they talk about Greys, you know, like the typical description, kind of like that, but not really. And just, you know, I just try to get information from anyone I can, and that we'll talk. And I mean, this is me coming out, it's me talking. I think more people that have had experiences need to come out and need to be upfront and say, hey, you know, we want to investigate this, you know, we need to look into this. You know, I mean, if you want something done, you need a grassroots movement, you know. So, you know, it's just like, if you want marijuana legalized, you're going to get a group of people together and let's go march. You know, that's what the blacks do. They had the Million Man March, okay? That's what changed civil rights, you know. We have civil rights now, or better civil rights, because, you know, they marched. You know, we need to get more people to come out and say what's happened and what's gone on with them and stuff. So if you ever get a chance, go to aliens2truth.com. It's a cool little website. I've listened to, the guy has a couple podcasts on here, and I've listened to him, and they're very interesting. He's had experiences, as have I, and it's just kind of neat to have someone else and listen to him. And I guess for me, the specials on TV, the Unsolved Mysteries and different things, have made me sit there and sit back and go, wow. I guess it might seem like an Unsolved Mysteries special or something like that gave me a TMF kind of related experience. I'm not the only one. I'm not, okay, now I can finally sit there and know that I'm not crazy, that there is something going on, you know. And I guess I'm looking into possibly hypnosis, but I got to find the right person, because to have someone that would sit there and say, okay, what's going on? I don't really believe you. Okay, buddy, I went to the store for some beer with my friend, with my friends at the house. I went to get beer. I went to the VP, which is the convenience store, and I came back. It should have been 15 to 20 minutes, and 4.5 hours elapsed in between that time. Okay, buddy, my friend over here, she's a psychologist. She'd be willing to put you on some medication. You know, what's going on? I guess, like a lot of people in this field, why would I, there's a guy, Raymond A. Muniz of Austin, Texas, that has had a Men in Black experience, and he started a TV show on public access, with other people who've had experiences, and he's had several in his life. And he says, why would I come out and ruin my reputation for a lie? A lot of people, like Travis Walton, the guy from Arizona that was one of the guys that was doing the lumbering, it really hasn't made his life any better because of that. It's not like, okay, touch me, I've been abducted. It's hogwash. It's us trying to find out what's going on, what's really happened. And so, it's just us, I guess it's like the X-Files show, It's the truth out there. We want to know the truth. We want to know what's really going on. We love to have answers. I guess I love to have answers, and I guess I might never know. There's a lot of people out there that are in the same boat as me that, that when they finally found out that someone else had this experience, like a sigh of relief, and a lot of people keep it to themselves. There are some outspoken people out there that, but it's just like, okay, what is someone going to think if I do this? So it's been one of those things that makes you wonder, like, what's going to happen when I finally just open up the lid and say, this is what's going on. I know what's like in Roswell, Grim Dark. He got a call before the story even broke about one of the, I think it was Colonel William Blanchard, wanted to get information on baby-sized hermetically sealed caskets. And he's like, all this stuff. And basically, a lot of things that happened, and one of his good friends, she was a nurse, and she recounted that she saw alien beings and all this stuff, and she was there when they were doing an autopsy, and a week later, she was flown overseas with a bunch of the people that worked that day, and they were mysteriously in a plane crash and died, mysteriously. So, makes you wonder. Like one of my friends said, he goes, I believe that they couldn't keep their mouth shut, and they were silenced. So it's just one of those things that I got about 5 minutes left in my show. If you're watching, it's called the name of my show is called Taken, Why Me, The Unexplained. And the title kind of says it all. Basically, it's, I'm one of the many people who know they've been abducted, they've been taken, what they've done to me, why they want me. I'm out trying to get answers. I'm out, speaking up, saying what I feel and what's going on. I guess it's like therapy for me. This is not a fun experience. This is not something that's like, yay, touch me, I'm a celebrity. No, it's not like that. It's coming out and being like, hey, I want answers. I'm confused. And one of the psychiatrists on the show one time, he goes, this person is like dazed and confused. They don't really know what's going on. They don't know. They're like, I'm confused. I don't know. I'm just trying to, this is what's happened to me. I can get it off my chest. I can say what's happened. I'm more likely going to do more shows, probably go into more experiences, things I've had. I might try to see if I can get a couple guests. If anyone wanted to call, you can feel free. The number is 914-338-0566 is my number. You can call and tell me to go to hell or whatever. But anyway, it's just, I guess a bunch of us like me are just in search of answers. You know, I guess like Travis Walton, he kind of is like, when you see him, he's in a demeanor of like, why am I here? Why did this happen to me? You know, so it's just one of those things that, you know, I guess we're all kind of in the same boat. The why me aspect. And, you know, and this all goes back to experiences that happened to when I was a kid. I read a story on the internet one night about a lady that, when you read her story, she had like missing time things in her home and all this stuff happening, and her mom wondered where she went and this and that, and you read all this stuff and you think, oh, wow, that's really neat. And then when you get to the bottom and she said, there's just one thing. And I said, and you hear it, and it goes, it happened in 1921. She goes, there was no science fiction movies for me to base my fantasy off of. There was no anything, you know, there was nothing back then that I could say, okay, well, yeah, you saw Aliens, the movie, you know, you saw, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey, now you're coming out with all these funny stories. Yeah, you know, a lot of people have had experiences, I've had them in daylight or when they're awake or when they're driving a car, you know, I saw a special where these people, now, well, we found out that a lot of people that are half asleep when they're going to sleep, they're not really asleep, but they're not really awake, and they have, like, these out-of-body experience type things, and that's what we associate with, you know, the abduction experience. And I'm like, okay, well, then explain all mine when I've been wide awake, and it's been in the afternoon when I've seen things, or it's been at 9 o'clock at night when I'm still awake and haven't even, not even at home. Explain that, you know. The people that claim that they can't explain anything, or that none of the experience, basically, I've met people that say that you can give me any UFO abduction thing, case, or any picture or anything, and I can sit there and prove you that it was a fake. And that's a lie. I got like a minute left on my show, so I just want to thank all you for coming out here and putting up with me for an hour. I'm usually up about 8:30 watching the French news. But I want to thank y'all for coming out here, and this has been one of the first of many shows that I hope to do and come out and talk about more about other things and other people I've talked to, and possibly I can get my friends on the show, you know, so I can sit there and have some of the people on the underground get on and maybe be a co-host or at least a call in. This is just kind of like a test market show to see how it works and how to get things rolling again. But I'm going to thank you all for listening and hope you all have a great day. And as I leave you with this, you know, can you and God exist? Some people say yes, and some people say no. And I don't know what to believe. I believe there's something out there that's not of this earth, and I know they've taken me. And I've never done things to me. And I guess I'm in the search for answers. That's why I guess the name of the show is Taken. Why Me? Unexplained. Thank you so much. And bye.